Okay, we begin here on the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, three lines down, the Tashma. The Gemara is discussing two issues. One issue, which was raised by Rami Bar Chama, which is that when it comes to Shidra V'Gulgolet, is the threshold for the Atzamot that derive from it, is that Rova Akav Atzamot or Chatzi Akav Atzamot? We know from our Mishnah that the threshold is Chatzi Akav Atzamot for a Nazir to be Megaleach Alav. The Mishnah Nolot says Rova Akav is the threshold for Tumata Ohel. Question is, with regards to Shidra and Gulgolet, what type of status do they have? Are they so chamur that even Rova Akav Atzamot from them would be Mitameh the Nazir and cause them to be Megaleach? Or do they have the same status as other bones? Yesterday we noted that the Rosh connects the two Machlokot and says that they are intertwined. If you believe that it says Shidra O Gulgolet Hanan, that each one independently is sufficient grounds to become Tamei, then you would also, as a derivative of that, say that it's Rova Akav Atzamot, because then there's so Chamur that you would say that. On the other hand, if you say it's Shidra V'Gulgolet, you need one of the each of them to create the Tum'ah, then you would also believe that Chatzi Kav Atzamot is the threshold, because then it wouldn't be so Chamur, and you'd also have the higher threshold for the Nazir to be Megaleach Aleihem. So the Rosh intertwines these two Machlokot that we've been discussing, which is the question of Shidra V'Gulgolet Tanan or Shidra O Gulgolet Tanan, as well as Rami Bar Chama's question with regards to bones that derive from the Shidra and the Gulgolet. Is it Arov HaKav the threshold, or is Chatzi HaKav the threshold? Tashma, the Gemara brings a proof that it tried to bring before, which is Shammai Omer, Etzem Echad Min HaShidra O Min HaGulgolet. If you have a single bone that derives from the Shidra or the Gulgolet, that's enough or sufficient grounds for you to be Tamei. Now, over here, Shammai's statement is not made about the Nazir. It's talking about Tumah in general. But what you have to say is something along the lines of what the Rosh is saying over here, is that if it's so chamur that a single bone from the Shidra and Gulgolet would make one Tamei, then we would also say by the Nazir that Rov HaKav suffices to undermine the count of the Nazir. Mefaresh over here says that a case according to Shammai is that that single bone reaches the size of Rova Atzamot, Rova Kav of Atzamot, so that when Shammai is speaking, he's not speaking about a case of just any bone or a small bone, but it's a bone that reaches that requisite size of Rova Kav Atzamot. So Gemara says, well, let's learn out from Shammai that will prove from that something about the Chachamim. Gemara answers, Shani Shammai, Demachmir Tfei. Shammai is different because he's so machmir. So Tosafot over here says what the Rosh said about the same proof that was brought yesterday, which is the Ein Svara Lomar Deplige Kulei Hai. The basic premise of the Gemara is that the Chachamim can't be so far away from Shammai. So even though we're not trying to prove anything from Shammai himself, we're trying to prove that from Shammai, the Rabbanim can't be that far behind. So they're going to argue about the fact whether one bone suffices, but they're not going to argue about the threshold of Rova Akav Atzamot. Again, for the Mefaresh, it's even more explicit because Shammai himself believes you need Rova Akav Atzamot. It just comes from one bone. On the other hand, the Chachamim are arguing on him and say that you need to have it come from the Shidra and the Gulgolet as the whole items that bring this to Ma, or bones that are coming from the Shidra and Gulgolet to get to Rova Akav Atzamot. Of course, they wouldn't argue on two points. They wouldn't argue on the fact that one bone is sufficient. Plus, they say not only is one bone not sufficient, but neither is Rova Akav, you also need Chatzi Akav. That means that you've made their positions so far away. The Rabbanan believe you need Chatzi Akav Atzamot. You need it to have multiple Atzamot plus Chatzi Akav. And Shammai says one bone and Rova Akav. It's just too far away in the positions. The Gemara answers, you can't prove anything from this because Shammai is machmir tvei. In the end, he is. He is a extreme position, kitzoni position, and therefore you can't say that the Chachamim must be following close behind. The Gemara says, okay, if he's an extreme position, then lifshot minei taima de Shammai de machmir. The reason behind Shammai's position is because he's a machmir. Hal rabbonon, then you would infer the Rabbanan who are a more normalized position, Adika Chatzikav Atzamot, that they would believe that it would be Chatzikav plus multiple Atzamot. If you're already making his position so out there, so kitzoni, then let's say what the mainstream opinion must be differentiated from his opinion. That means that they would believe you need a Chatzikav Atzamot plus the demand that it be multiple Atzamot. Those that argue on Shammai, Beit Hillel requires that it be Mirov HaGvia, that's Mirov Binyan or Mirov Minyan. And Beit Shammai says it has to be Shnayim U'Shlosha Atzamot, and we saw yesterday, trying to equate that to the position of Beit Hillel, that it's not just two or three any bones, but it has to be from the Rov Minyan and the Rov Binyan as well. So for that reason, you can't talk about a single bone, because you would never get there with a single bone. Single bone, even though it might reach the requisite size, it would be missing in other areas. It would be missing the Rov Minyan or the Rov Binyan aspect of it. According to Beit Shammai, where it's Shnayim U'Shlosha, the Rambam has an unusual opinion, the Perish Mishnayot, that it comes from two or three different Meitim, even that the Shnayim U'Shlosha means. But most Rishonim believe it means two or three bones or two or three Eibarim, and then we equated that to Beit Hillel's position yesterday, or close to Beit Hillel's position, that it means Rov Minyan and Rov Binyan. So that requirement wouldn't allow it. Even if Shammai believes that a single bone of that would suffice, then the difference between Rova and Chatzi Akav can't just be the size of one bone, because then you're missing the other requirements of Rov Binyan and Rov Minyan. Gemara says you can't infer anything from here. Dilma adkan lo pligi Rabbanan alei d'Shammai. The Rabbanan don't argue on Shammai here. Elo be'etzem echad. They only argue with him whether it can be one etzem, or do you need Rov Binyan and Rov Minyan. Aval berov atzamot afir leRabbanan modu. But the Chachamim agree that the threshold is Rov atzamot and not Tziyakav. So in the end, what they're suggesting is, yes, Shammai is an extreme opinion, but that doesn't prove to us anything about the Chachamim. The Chachamim can disagree on both points, because he is an extreme opinion, or they can disagree on one point. It's not clear from Shammai's position what exactly the position of the other Chachamim is. So we can't prove anything from there. Now we come to the final stages of this sugya, which is Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Zekenim Arishonim Miksatana Yomrim. The earlier generations, Tanaim, used to say, Chatzi Akav Atzamot V'Chatzi Log Dam, that the threshold for Tuma is a half Kav of Atzamot and a half a log of Dan, Lakol. That's for everything. That is Ben L'Tum'ah, which is the Mishnah in Oalot, Ben L'Galeach et HaNazir, which is our Mishnah over here. Both of them have the requirement of Chatzi Akav and Chatzi Logdam. Either one would be sufficient grounds for Tum'ah, but that means that that position agrees with our Mishnah here, because that is the threshold for Giluach HaNazir, but disagrees with the Mishnah in Oalot, because the Mishnah in Oalot says that Rova Akav Atzamot and Revi'at Adam is sufficient grounds for Tum'ah and Tum'ah Ta'ol. So this opinion will disagree with that. And then it says something interesting. It says, Rov Atzamot Revi'at Adam Lo Lakol. But when it comes to Rov Atzamot Revi'at Adam, that would not apply to everyone. That would be the simple reading of this. If you look in the Mifresh and in the Tosavot, they say that Lo Lakol means it doesn't apply at all. So it's the opposite of everything Lakol. That is Lo Lakol. That means for nothing. So everything has the threshold of Chatzi Kav Atzamot and Chatzi Logdam. Nothing has the threshold of Revi Adam and Rova Kav Atzamot. Umiksatana Yomrim. There are others that suggested Af Rova Atzamot Revi Adam Lakol. That the threshold for everything is Revi Adam Rova Atzamot, which means this opinion agrees with the Mishnah and Olot that for Tumata Ol Rova Kav Atzamot Revi Adam is sufficient. But it disagrees with our Mishnah here in Nazir, because here the Mishnah in Nazir says you need a Chatzi Akav Atzamot and a Chatzi Log Dam. And this opinion would say no, that a Nazir would be Megaleach on Rov Atzamot and on a Revi'at Dam. So here you have two opinions. Each of those opinions argues on one of the Mishnayot, because we have the Mishnah here in Nazir, the Mishnah in Olot. The Mishnah in Olot says Revi'at Adam, Rova Kav Atzamot. The Mishnah here says that it's Chatzi Halog Dam and Chatzi Kav Atzamot. We don't think that they're arguing. We think that the Mishnah in Olot is talking about Tumat Ol. And the Mishnah here, Alach Lemoshmin Sinai, says these are the thresholds for a Nazir. But here, those opinions, the earlier opinions, had a singular opinion for both. And that means that they're arguing on one of the Mishnayot. Beit Din Shalach Rehem. So the later Chachamim or Tanaim came along and Amru. Chatzi Kabatzamot V'chatzi Logdam Lakol. That when it comes to the threshold, the main threshold is Chatzi Kabatzamot and Chatzi Logdam. That means midoraita, that's the threshold. Rova Atzamot V'revit Dam L'Truma V'Kodoshim. The threshold of a Rova Atzamot and Revit Dam would be applicable to Truma and Kodoshim. Avalol Nazir V'Osef Pesach. But not for a Nazir and Osef Pesach. The Gemara already earlier noted that if you have such a distinction, then we're definitely talking about a distinction to Rabbonon. Because otherwise there's no reason to differentiate between Truma and Kodoshim and Nazir and Osef Pesach. Only reason you would do that is because you're splitting midrabanan, which means midoraita. Everyone agrees chatzi kavatzmot chatzi log yayin for everything. But now we distinguish between truma and kodoshim versus nazir v'osef pesach. The reason to differentiate is by truma and kodoshim, all there is hefsed truma or hefsed kodoshim. If we make them tamei, the lower threshold, right? So we lose them. We lose that. By the Nazir and the Korban HaPesach, you're dealing with much more serious issues. If you undermine the Nazirut, he has to bring Korbanot, and Korbanot Tuma, he has to redo his Nazirut. By Yosef Pesach, you're dealing with a Chiyuv Karet. So over there, the Chachamim did not enter in the lower Shiur, they maintained the higher Shiur of Chatzi Akav and Chatzi Logdam. And then, according to Balei HaTosafot, that means that this opinion agreed with the way that we have our Mishnayot now. The Mishnah Olot that was talking about Tumat Oel was talking about only in the context of Truma and Kodoshim. The Mishnah here in Nazir is referencing a Nazir, which is the threshold there is Chatzi Kavatzamot and Chatzi Logdam, which is the Dindo Raita. And the same will be true of the Pesach. So then, according to the Balei HaTosafot here, this third opinion is what our two Mishnayot say. And Michte, Ein Hachrat Shlishit Machrat. The Machrat Shlishit is not Machria. So here are the two ways to read what that means. Either, according to the Mifaresh over here, that this is not a Hachrat Shlishit, he says, Michte, kol hachra'a, shi b'miksat k'divrei zeh, u'miksat k'divrei zeh, eino hachra'a. When you have an opinion that takes a portion from this opinion, a portion from that opinion, ad shitei kula k'divrei achad mehem. It's only true, a hachra'ah, or determination, is only when that opinion follows one of the two opinions completely. So if you want to be a decisor in this situation, where the halacha will be like such and such, that would mean that the one third opinion picks up one of the two earlier opinions. The fact that here you have a opinion that then takes a portion from this opinion, a portion from that opinion, that's not a hachra'ah. That becomes a third opinion. That's a totally new opinion. The hachra'ah lashon shikul shishokel divrei shnayim yoter me'achad, because hachra'ah means to be decisive, to be definitive, means picking one over the other. But over here, you're talking about a compromise position rather than a middle of the road position, and then that would bring into question why is it that this latter opinion came up with a totally new opinion and didn't pick up one of the two earlier opinions. In a sense, maybe even, what's their right to do that? Why do they have a right to do that? And then the Tosafot brings over here, Eish mifarshim hachrash lishit, haynu talmidim. Some say that, what does it mean that there's hachrash lishit? It means the talmidim came now and made a determination. Beit din acharon hayu talmidim lizakenim arishonim. We say, beit din shachareihem, that means that they were students of the earlier generations of the rishonim. How could it be that their opinion is machria over here? So now, why are we being machria like this third opinion, which is that the Mishnah in Olot and the Mishnah in Nazir supports this third opinion? So the question is, why are we deciding like the third opinion? Now here, the third opinion is either because it is a third opinion, but more likely because it's a Dor Shlishi. It's a later generation that's making a decision. Why are we bound by the later decision rather than the earlier decision. So that's the one way to read it. The other way to read it is that the Hachrad Shlishit over here is that we have a new opinion, because the Rishonim didn't give us the reason behind their positions. And because we don't have the reasons behind their positions, the Achra over here is not really Achra. You can't say, well, I hold like him for Truma and Kodashim, I hold like him for Pesach and Nazir. That's not making a decision, that's not utilizing the opinions of there, that's generating a brand new opinion. Rashi in other places in Shas talks about the Achra Shlishit as being a problem with the Talmidim. Tosafot, in other places, takes issue and brings opinion similar to what he mentions over here, which is that Hachra Shlishit can't be just that you take a portion of this opinion, a portion of that opinion, because we don't know the reason behind each opinion. Therefore, to take a portion of them and say, well, it makes sense like them here, it makes sense like them there, that we don't know if that's really what they were saying. And therefore, the third opinion is not what you're suggesting, a compromise between the two opinions. It becomes a totally new opinion, because we don't understand if they're really deriving from the earlier two opinions. If it was clear, I mean, the first two opinions gave the reasons behind their opinions, and then the Dach Lishit went ahead and said that reason and that reason, and now I can bring them together, maybe in that case it would be a machria of a Dach Lishit, because then it would derive from the original two opinions. But over here, since we don't know the reason behind the first two opinions, when you come and take a portion like this, a portion like that, you're not being machria in the sense of making a decision that part like this, part like this, because you can't tell what the opinion was. If you can't tell what the opinion was, it means you become an independent opinion. But either way, our problem now is either we have Talmidim, who are bringing a third opinion, and it seems that the Mishnayot support that third opinion, so why are we possibly like the third opinion if it's the Talmidim? Or, according to the way that the Balei Tosafot brought in the end, we have now a Dach Lishit, which does not derive from the first two opinions, and therefore it's not a machria, it's not a determinant position. So why is it that we're passing that way? So Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yaakov Idi, Mipni Shmua Amro. It came b'misora. That's a lot of Girsaot just had that. Or Girsaot, Mipi Chagai Zecharia Umelachi. That it came from the Nevi'im. It's a misora from the Nevi'im that this is the proper approach, or that this is the way to paskin the halacha. So this opinion is not all of a sudden a new opinion of the Talmidim. It's also not being machriya, meaning in the sense that it's trying to take two other opinions and become a machriya, but it's actually an independent opinion that has very strong support in the Misora. Now, our Gemara again has the Gisa of Chagai Zechar Melachi. If you look within the Mifaresh, he brings two possibilities. He says, Mipi Shmaya Vavtalion, or Mipi Chagai Zechar Melachi. So whether he has a Girsa that just simply says, Mipnei Shmua Amaro, and now he's telling you, which Shmua is it? When they meant Shmua, does that mean Shmai Vavtalion or Chagai Zecharia Malachi? Or whether he had two separate Girsot, two different Girsot. One Girsa that said, Mipi HaShmua Amaro, which was from Shmai Vavtalion, and they had another Girsa, like our Gemara, which was Chagai Zecharia Malachi. Either way, it means that it was a very strong and older Misora, and it's not some new idea, a new opinion, and that's why we paskin that way. Where in other places brings Misora like this, and then the alternate opinion says, he didn't have that Misora. He didn't think the Misora came from Chagai Zecharia Malachi. Alright. Ayelo Anazir Migaleach. We mentioned this when we read the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins that these are the items that a Nazir is Migaleach, and then it finishes off again, these are the items that a Nazir is Migaleach on. Al-Elu Dereisha. Al-Elu of Dereisha, the Ute. What does that come to exclude? Etzem kisora. I tell you that an etzem kisora is not mitamei be'ohel, tamago v'maso in. If you come into contact with it, if you carry it, then you are tamei and will undermine the nazirut. But ohilo lo. On the other hand, if it's tumat ohel, it's not included. But elu de seifa, the elu seifa is the meute even haskuchit. Comes to exclude the case of even skuchit, which we'll discuss in 1 second. Tosafot already raises the issue, which is, this is explicit in the Mishnah. The fact that etzem kisa'ora is mitamei b'maga masa and not ba'ohel, the Mishnah itself already tells that, which is v'al etzem kisa'ora magova maso. So what do you mean al elu in the beginning tells you that diuk? The Mishnah explicitly is going to say the same thing. So Tosfot says, yeshlamar tani v'hadr mifarish, that the Mishnah, the Bala Mishnah, told you some information, and later then brings it explicitly. Because of that, that will affect how you explain Evan Haschuchit over here. Evan Haschuchit, according to most of the Rishonim, is referencing the upcoming Mishnah, the Mishnah Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, which says, Avalas Chachachot Ve'apiraot Upeit Pras. These are items that are not undermining the Nizirut. And here's the list of them. One of them is the Sechachot. And that's what it means over here. Al Elu comes to exclude the case of Evan HaSachacha. And now the Gemara will explain, and tomorrow's daf, based on that Mishnah, that we're talking about stones that stick out or protrude from the wall, and they possibly could be Me'ahil on the individual plus Tumah, and that's why they're called the Evan HaSchuchit, they create Schach. That's an Evan that creates Schach, some sort of shade or a tree. That creates a shade, but also then creates a problem of Ohel, because if you walk under them, they could be Me'ahil on you and the Tumah. The Mefaresh offers two other alternatives as to what Evan Haschuchit is over here. One of them is Evan Misma, which is a specific type of category in the Halacha of Taharot, which is if you have an extremely heavy stone, which cannot be moved, if you sit on top of it, is there still Tumah? So over there, it's really in reference to Azav, with Tumat Mishkav and Moshav, because over there he has no impact on the movement or riding on the rock. What's the din of Evan Misma? And that there is a chumra there that it is mitame betumat mishkav moshav. And over here, it would be limut to Evan Haschuchit that says that there would be no tumat ha'ol over here with regards to this Evan. Or, he brings another possibility is that Evan Haschuchit is Evan ha'misachechet ala keber. Or, it's talking about a case where the individual is carrying a stone. And when carrying that stone, he then is mahil on Tumah with carrying that stone. And this is a reference to what type of kelim do not create Tumah or do not transfer Tumah. And it says there that kol ha'metal talim evin et Tumah, anything that's carried brings Tumah. We can create an ohel. But ovi ha'mardeya, the width of a prodder, chutz miklei galalim, klei avanim, klei adamah. These kelim, which are not mekabel Tumah, are also not bringing Tumah through ohel if you're carrying him. So if he's carrying an evan, the Nazir, and he walks over Tumah, and the Evan covers over the Tumah, creates an Ohel, it will not bring Tumah. That's another possibility as to what we're referencing here. So you have three possibilities as to what this Evan Haschuchit is. In all cases, the outcome of the halacha is that there is no Tumah to Ohel over here, and that is what the Mishnah is being memait. That doesn't affect the Nazir. According to Tosfot's explanation, it's similar to the Reisha, which is, even though it's going to be mentioned later explicitly in the Mishnah, over here, he's giving a preview that that's not going to be included, and then later on, it's mefaresh, what exactly that is. So now, chatzi kav atzamot in, rov atzamot lo. The inference that you would draw from the Mishnah is that chatzi kav atzamot is the threshold by which a nazir is migaleach, but a lower number, so we'll just go to the next station below that, if it's not a chatzi kav, it's a rov kav atzamot, which again, we see in the Mishnah in Olot, that would not be mitame. Gemara wants to know, echidami. What's the case where you have a rova of atzamot and it's not mitame? Ilema diipahon atzamot kitseora. If in that rova of atzamot you have bones the size of a tseora, typically mishum etzem kitseora, then it should be tame just because it's etzem kitseora. Forget about chatzik of atzamot. Forget about rova of atzamot. There's a tuma that derives from etzem kitseora. So why is it that when you're below the threshold of Chatzik Kav Atzamot, we say, okay, after that, no problem. It is a problem because you have Etzem Kiseora over there. Tosafot asks the obvious question, which is, Tzara Chiyun, I don't understand what the Gemara's question is. Etzem Kiseora, as we said, and the Mishnah says explicitly, is only Mitameh B'Magal B'Masa. Chatzik Kav Atzamot is Mitameh B'Ohel. So when you drop down to a Rova Kav Atzamot, yes, there's Tumat Magal Masa, but there's no Tumat Ohel. And that's the answer. So Tosafot says that the Gemara here is relying on what's later going to be said, which is Omari the Samicha might be in the name of a Samuch, the Botan the Tanan Bereisha Chatzikav, the Mashma of a Paldchot Lo. Anything Lo says not. Am I Istrik the Mitne b'Seifa? Then why does the Seifa have to say Rova Kav Atzamot is a no? I mean, if you can infer it from the Reisha that Chatzikav yes, Rova Kav no, then why does the Mishnah go out of its way to write Rova Kav in the latter half of the Mishnah? Ella, to come to teach you that Chatzi Kav is Mitamei B'Maga Masa Uba Ohel, Rova Kav is Mitamei B'Maga Uba Masa, not be'ohel. Well, if that's what the reason it's written there, to teach you that it's metamei b'magal masa and not ohel, you could get that out of etzem kisora. You don't need a rova akavat samot to get there. Gemara's answer is, el da'akmach akmuche. It's a case where it was crushed, milled, pulverized, where there was no remaining etzem kisora. So you have the requisite shear of rova akavat samot, but in there is no etzem that is kisora. So in terms of tumat etzem kisora, it's not existent. Should be no tumat. Magal Masov here. Along comes the Chiddush, which is that Rova Kavat Samot of these pulverized, crushed, milled bones would have Tumat Magal Masa. And again, if it reached the Chatziyakav, it would even have Tumat. Oh well. Alever min Amit, Valever min Achai, Sheishalem Basar Kiraui. Again, next category in the Mishnah. You have an Aver min Amit, or an Aver min Achai. These are limbs, but they have sufficient flesh on them. Again, we spoke about what sufficient flesh means. It means that if they were still attached to the body, they would be male aruka. They would rejuvenate. They would heal on the body. So that's how much basar that we need over here. And we saw earlier also the statement that it has to include basar gidim and atzamot. But we saw that the Gemara had at one point a conclusion that if it had basar v'atzamot, then it definitely had gidim. But you have to, it's talking about a limb, the whole limb that's there. Einalem basar kera'oi mai. If they don't have sufficient basar on them, what is the din? Biyochanamar ina nazir megaleach aleim. Biyochanan says that the nazir will not be megaleach on such items. Rish Lakish amar, a nazir megaleach aleim. On the other hand, Rish Lakish says that the nazir is megaleach on them. Now, obviously, it can't be megaleach on them betumat ohel, because the mission is explicit that if it has basar kira'oi, then it's betamei bohel. That means that if it doesn't have basar kira'oi, it's obviously not mitamei b'hoel. So now, havadai, that's what Tosfot says, alelo lo yigalech. Ela b'mago u'masa'o, she'ein sham etzem kisora. If it doesn't have an etzem kisora, again, you're faced with the problem. If it has etzem kisora, it doesn't matter about Aver, it'll be tamei tumat maga masa just because of the etzem kisora. The question here is that it's a limb that doesn't have the requisite amount of basar. Is it tamei tumat maga masa, or is it completely tahor? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Eina Azir Megaleach Aleim, because there's no Etzem Kisa'ora there, therefore it fails to meet the minimum Shi'urim, and there's no Tumah at all. On the other hand, Reish Lakish says, Azir Megaleach Aleim, because even though there's no Etzem Kisa'ora, and there's no Basar Kira'ui, nevertheless, it's still Chashuv enough to be Tamei Tumat Magal Masa, and he'll bring that from the Psukim in a minute. Because the ratio of the mission says, Alever min amet, v'alever min achai, v'chulei sheyesh lehem kazoed basar in, aval ina lehem lo. That would be the deal that you make out of the ratio. That the basar kira'oi makes it that they are carrying tumar, they can convey tumah. On the other hand, if it doesn't have basar kira'oi, there is no tumah to speak about. Not tumah tol, not tumah magal masa. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish omer, migaleach. Why? Because it's not written in the Seifa. So this deal is the other way around. We have a list in the Reisha that tells you tumult, that are mitamei, tumat oel, maga, umasa, and that they ruin it for the Nazir. We have an upcoming Mishnah as well as the latter half of our Mishnah. The latter half of our Mishnah talks about items that are tamei, tumat, maga, umasa, not oel. And then we have other items that are mitamei, but are not undermining the Nazir. This etzem, or this aver, without the basar kiraui, is not mentioned in either of those latter cases. It's not mentioned in the case of Tumat Magal Masa without OL. It's not mentioned in the cases that are not undermining the Nazir. So that would imply it has some other Tumat or has Tumat Magal Masa, the fact that it's not excluded from those latter cases. Rabbi Yochanan Malacha, Kohecha, Demashma Michlolo, Lo Tani Beseifa. Any case where you could have inferred it from the Reisha, it does not have to spell it out explicitly in the Seifa. Since I can infer from the Reisha when it says basar kira'oi, that is the requirement in order for it to be mitameh or kumeh tumah. Without it, there is no conveyance of tumah. And that would be the inference from the Reisha. So I don't need it to be written in the Seifa. Gemara says, is Rabbi Yochanan's principle really right? Va'chatzi kav atzamot, demashma chatzi kav atzamot in rova kav atzamot lo. So we have in our Mishnah, chatzi kav atzamot, with mitameh ba'ol b'mago masa, and is undermining the Nazir, implying that Rova Kav does not. Nevertheless, V'ktani B'Seifa, The latter half of our Mishnah said, Rova Kavatzamot is Tametame Betumat Magal Masa, not Be Ohel. Why does it have to tell you that? You could have inferred that from the Reisha. Hotam Ilav Rova Tzamot, if it didn't explicitly write it in the Seifa, Amina Afilu Amagol B'Masolo, I would have thought, similar to Basar Kira'ui on the Aver, that the inference from the Reisha would mean only when you have a Chatziyakav Atzamot are you Tamei Tumato Magal Masa. Rova Kav, not only is it not mitamei be Ohel, it's also not mitamei be maga umasa. So that's what the Sefer comes to teach you, that yes, still maga umasa there is. So even though you could have inferred it from the ratio, the inference you would have drawn would have been the incorrect conclusion, which is there's no tuma whatsoever. So the Mishnah comes to dispel that and say, no, maga umasa there still is. Only for tumat Ohel by Rova Kav Tzamot do you not undermine the Nazir, but if it was for Tumat Magal Masa, you would undermine it. Va Chatzi Logdam. What about Chatzi Logdam that's also mentioned in the Reisha? And you would have inferred from that that Chatzi Logdam, yes, Revi'at Adam, no. The Shema Mina Chatzi Logdam in Revi'at Adam lo, Viktani Seifa. And the Seifa writes explicitly, mentions Revi'at Adam in the Seifa. So why do you need Revi'at Adam in the Seifa? According to Rabbi Yochanan, you could have inferred that from the Reisha. Hatam lafuke mid Rabbi Akiva. That comes to exclude the case of Rabbi Akiva. According to most Rishonim, that's the end of the Gemara here. Lafuke mid Rabbi Akiva. The Mefereish has a continuation of what we have in the Gemara, which is Dama Rabbi Akiva, Vieta Dama ba Mishnei Mitim et Tamei Boel. That Vieta Dam, we've seen this machloket from the Mishnayot and Olot, Rabbi Akiva believes Akon Nafshot Meit, that even in multiple Meitim, their blood, if it combines to be Vieta Dam, that is sufficient grounds for Tumat Ohel by Revi Adam. At least for Tumah, not for the Nazir to Megaleach. Chatzi Log would be sufficient for the Nazir. But again, he would say Mishnei Meitim. Chachamim disagree and say Meitachad. So the Mishnah mentions Revi Adam in order to exclude the position of Rabbi Akiva and to say that Revi Adam, and supposedly it would be implied in the Mishnah, that Revi Adam means from a single mate and not from multiple Meitim, and therefore it's coming to exclude the position of Rabbi Akiva. Most of the Rishonim say no, that the Gemara ends lafukei mid Rabbi Akiva to exclude the position of Rabbi Akiva, and it's not this position of Rabbi Akiva about shnei mitim versus meit echad. Rather, the position of Rabbi Akiva is found in the last Mishnah of the Perek. In the last Mishnah of the Perek, Rabbi Akiva is done with regards to a Nazir and says, "I'm Rabbi Akiva, dante lifnei Rabbi Eliezer, mayim etzim k'sara shenu mitamei adam be'oel, a Nazir megaleach amagov maso." Basically, what he says is that Revi'at Adam should be the threshold for Nazir as well, at least with regards to Tumat Maga and Masa, that Revi'at Adam everywhere else is Metamei Ba'ohel. Over here we have Aloch Lamosh Misinai that Chatzi Log Dam is the threshold. So, what Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, listen, I don't understand why Chatzi Log Dam should be the threshold, because a Revi Adam should be the level that affects Tumat Maga and Masa, at least from a Kal V'chomer, and seemingly over here, depending how you read the Gemara afterwards, Rabbi Akiva even thinks it works Ba'ohel to ruin or undermine the Nazir. So the Mishnah comes along and says Revi Adam is not part of our Reisha. It's not part of the cases where there's Tumat Ohel and undermines the Nazir. It's not part of those that Tumat Maga and Masa that undermines the Nazir. And that's why the Mishnah mentions that even though you could have inferred it from the Chatzi Log Dam, no Revi Adam, yes, you could have inferred it, but then you would have thought maybe it's like Rabbi Akiva. Along comes the Mishnah and says, no, Revi Adam is out of the picture completely against the position of Rabbi Akiva. And that's why it's mentioned in the upcoming Mishnah, Revi Adam, which says there is no Tuma by Revi Adam, and that's the Rabbi Akiva that it's coming to exclude. All right, so now Gemara says, I even made a mate, Echidomi. What exactly is the situation of this Eivir Min HaMeit? Because, again, Eivir Min HaMeit is made up of Atzamot, Basar, and Gidim. So if you have a Kazayit Basar has its own status. If you have Etzem, Etzem Kisora already has its own status. So this Eivir Min HaMeit, what exactly is the situation? Idibi Itbe Etzem Kisora. If this Eivir Min HaMeit has a bone that's the size of Etzem Kisora, my time with Rabbi Yochanan, what is the reason behind Rabbi Yochanan says there's no Tumat Magal Masa over here? It does not have the Basar Kira'oi, so there's no Tumat Oa. But why not have Tumat Magal Masa? Because it's an Etzem Kis Ora. So then how could Rabbi Yochanan say, no, Tumat Magal Masa? Why, it's worse than an Etzem Kis Ora? Can't be worse than that. V'italepe etzim kisora. If it's below the requisite shear of etzim kisora, my time under Reish Lakish. Then why does Reish Lakish say, yeah, there's no tumat oel over here by an aver that does not have basar karoi? It's not the size of etzim kisora. Nevertheless, it has a din of tumat magal masa. Well, if it doesn't reach the minimum threshold of etzim kisora, how is it mitamei the magal masa? Where do you ever find that? Our mission only mentions an aver that has basar kiraoi is mitamei oel magal masa. Then we have etzim kisora that is mitamei magal masa. Now you've created a new category, which is a aver without basar kiraoi with less than an etzim kisora is also mitamei tumat magal masa. That's not mentioned in our Mishnah. Where does Reish Lakish get that from? Amar lacha Reish Lakish, olam delet be etzim kisora, filachi rachmana rabye. So here the case is a case of less than an etzem kisora, and despite the fact that it's less than an etzem kisora, it's still mekabel tuma, and this is based on two brightot that we're about to bring here that have drashot in them. The brightot are drashot on Bamidbar Perek Yutet, which is Parshat Chukat, which is the parsha of Tumat Hamet. In describing Tumat Hamet, there in Parshat Chukat, it gives a list of items that have a din of tumat hamet, which the Gemara is going to bring in these brayto that are darshin. And what you have to say, Tosafot says it as well, that this is not necessarily the pashtut of the meaning of the pasuk, but rather these are the misorot, this is the halacha l'Moshe Misinai, that we believe that this is what it's referencing. Over there, there are two psukim, and the brayto divide up those two psukim to say that one is talking about tumat oel, and one is talking about tumat maga. So now it says, "V'lakach hezov v'taval b'mayim ishtor v'zala ohel v'al kol hakelim v'al nefashot hayusham v'al nogea be'etzem o bechalal o bemeit o bekover." That's one view. And then there's an earlier pasuk that says, "V'chol asher yiga al pnei asadeh bechalal cheref o bemeit o be'etzem adam o bekover itma shivat yamim." So twice you have a list of items that make him tamei meit. The first one says, if you come into contact with these items, you become tamei. The latter one says that you take the sprinkling of the paraduma and you're mitaharim from these tumult, and has the list again. What the brayter are going to do is say that the first list is a list of tumat oel. The second list is a list of tumat maga. And that's despite the fact that the first list begins, b'chol ashe yigal p'nei asadeh, which makes it sound like there is tumat maga. But what the Rishonim point out is it says, Pnei Asadeh. This is a Tumah that is conveyed not through Maga, but Iga, which is that your contact with Pnei Asadeh. You're walking along the Sadeh, and all of a sudden you get this Tumah. How do you have such a Tumah? That's Tumat Ohel. So that's what the Braita that is brought here. The Tanya, we have a Braita. Chol Asher Iga al Pnei Asadeh, Bechalal Cherev, O Bemeit, O Be'etzem Adam, O Bekover, Itma Shivat Yamim. Now the Gemara brings the brayta that darshins each one of these. Al pnei asadeh, zeh ma'il al pnei amet. This is tumat ohel. Bechalal, zeh eiver min achai. The Gemara darshins from bechalal, not from chalal, a corpse, but a chalal from severed. And actually the girsa of the mifarish over here says, bechalal zeh eiver hanechalal min achai. It's an aver that was severed from the chai, and that's what the meaning of halal is over here. And that aver min a chai would be an aver that has basar kira'ui on it, and therefore it's considered to be a full aver that conveys tumah in this manner. V'yesh lo lahalot aruka, and has sufficient basar kira'ui that it would heal itself. Cherif, harizeh kechalal. The word cherif in the pasuk teaches you, because it says b'chalal cherif, that cherif has the same din as a halal. This is a special din, question about what, but it's a special din that certain kelim, when they come into contact with the corpse, they not only become tamei, they take on the properties of the corpse. So here, for instance, a sword, that for sure everybody agrees, a sword that comes into contact with the mate, not only is the sword tamei tumat mate, but is actually a via vota tumah, is on the same level as tumah as the corpse itself. If one comes into contact with that sword, they would be tamei tumat shiv'ah. They would have 7 days of Tumah, not just coming into contact with someone who's Tameh Tumah Tameh, which will only give you a regional Tumah, would make it Tumah Erev for Kelim and for certain items, but not Tameh Tumah Shiva. So that's true of this, what's called Cherev Haruhi Kuklau. Now that's true by a sword. Most Rishonim believe that it's not just by sword, it's by any Matachet. any metallic object is cherev arehu kichlal. The Rosh here mentions it from lav dafka cherev elula din kol klei mitachot enogim b'meit b'perish Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbi Yitzchak mi sam ponte af kli shetef. Any kli, even wooden kelim, any other kli, also would take on the properties of the chalal. So this principle can be either just by a sword, by all metallic kelim, or even by all kelim. But the din is that this kli that comes in contact with the mate becomes like the mate, and therefore it's mitamei. An individual comes into it 7 days of tumah. There is some question as to whether it has tumat ohel. Definitely has tumat magam masa. Does it have tumat oil as well? How close is it to the mate? That's also subject to machloket. Right then, o b'mate ze ever anechalal min amate. O min amate is a limb that is severed from the mate. And again, over here it would have to be basar kira oy. O b'etzim adam. O b'etzim adam pashtut means the bone of a man. Here it says ze rov atzamot. That's the din of rov atzamot. So here again, these are all items that are mitamei tumat oel. So that's rov atzamot. And again, it has to be alocha al the Moshe Misinai. O b'kever, which is ze kever satum. So the last item that is mentioned in the pasuk in this list of items that make tumah is obi kover, and the Gemara says that's kever satum. What this kever satum is not clear. The way that the Mefarash says that kever satum sheim bo chlal tefach ben amet vagolel. There's no space of a tefach between the mate and the golel, depending on what you think the golel is, but assuming that it's the stone that goes over the mate, between the mate and the stone over it, there's no chlal tefach. Tosfot over here discusses what that means or how that makes a difference. And he says here, Ein lomar, hainu shein bo poteach tefach. That's not a case where there's no tefach tefach. Da'u hava tuma ritzutza. That is squeezed tuma. Velo mitamei al kenegi gufo shel mate. That only allows for tuma to rise directly opposite the mate. V'acharinim de kever atzmo mitamei. The chiddush here is not only is the mate mitamei, but the entire grave has a din of tumat oel. So if you step over the grave, even though you're not over the mate, you would become tamei tumat oel. Where is that case? Elohocha, ayir bekever satum b'chol ruchutav. From every side, it's sealed in. V'yesh bo peteach tefach beino the mate. Above the mate, there is a poteach tefach. And that allows the tumat to spread, because of that poteach tefach to spread, and then therefore make the whole kever tamei and have too much oel associated with it. So he says, if it was closer than a tefach to the mate, then it wouldn't get a din of kever, and only opposite the mate itself would you have too much hamate. On the other hand, if you have a poteach tefach above the mate, that allows the tumat to spread, and now that the tumat is spread, the whole kever has a din of tumat oel. And that's the chiddush of the pasuk over here, that kever satum has that din, and v'dafka sheish bo poteach tefach ben amet the kever shalav. It's only in the case of a tefach. Vo ein poteach tefach enu mitamei kol tzadim el tuma bokat vola kenegdo. The tula runs up next to it and down. Dainu keneged amet dafka. That means opposite the mate itself. Versus the mifarish over here, same bo chalal tefach, seems to indicate that there is no chalal tefach, and that's what's causing it to happen over here. So now the Gemara brings damar mar tumat bokat vola bokat v'yoredet. That tuma, when it comes, it extends upward and extends downward. There's no stopping the tuma. There's no break in the tuma, up or down. Now, Tosafot over here says, bichte aito. They're bringing this unnecessarily. This breita doesn't teach you anything because that's not the main issue. The main issue here is not about the fact that the tuma goes up and goes down. That would be true even the mate itself. The question is as the horizontal movement of the tuma within the kever. And so therefore this breita doesn't do anything for you. The Mefarash says that Naseh Kever Kugufo Shel Meit Atzmo. All the Breita is helping us with is the Tumat Kever becomes like a mate, and then what happens when you're like a mate? Tuma Ola and Tuma Yoredet, it goes up and down without any stopping. I mean that the Tuma spreads up and down without any cutoff. And if you're over it or under it, you'll become Tamei. So again, the Mefarash sidesteps the question, just says, this is the way Tumah works in a Kever Satum, but not that this Breita in particular tells us anything about a Kever Satum. Okay, we're going to stop here, and we can see that the Gemara is going to continue on the second line here, Be'ilu Gabe Negiyah, which is the next Pasuk that they're going to darshan. With regards to Negiyah, what are each of these words mean? And from that, we'll then get the explanation of Reish Lakish's opinion as to why he thinks there's Tumat Magav Masa when you have a Aver, that's less than an etzim kisora, but does not have basar kiraui on it. All right, we'll stop here. The second line on the top of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph.